Amen. So, chapter 5, Nehemiah. As we travel through here, we see Nehemiah going through some things. The enemy has come. That didn't work. So the enemy, of course, has all kinds of ways of discouraging, distracting. And now we see in chapter 5 that the distraction is going to come from within rather than from outside. And sometimes those are the hardest ones because they just grab a hold of us and just wreak havoc in our lives and just shake us. And that's what's going to happen with Israel here. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 5, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against the brethren, the Jews. So the attack is coming from within. The enemy has done a work in distracting them. And now we see what that distraction is. And it says, For there were that said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also that there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There's a famine in the land. There's the things that are going on. But it's interesting, as you look at this chapter, we see through all the other chapters that they kept building, they kept working, things were happening. But now in this chapter, we see, at least for the first part, while they deal with this issue, that there was no building going on. And remember, the walls are salvation, the gates are praise. None of that is happening because they're dealing with this internal issue. And boy, it's always dangerous when we stop the work of the Lord in our lives, as we stop the things of the Lord just ministering to us and directing us, that sometimes those things just cause a lack of moving in people's hearts and lives. And certainly that's the case. That's here. There was a drought, there was a famine in the land. In Amos, of course, it says that there's a famine for the word of the Lord. It wasn't that there wasn't a word of the Lord, it's just that people weren't paying attention to it. And that is a dangerous place for us to be. And certainly that can be a danger for all of us, because that danger always seems to come against us during a time where things are happening, where things are working. Remember, the walls are going up. They're halfway up now. They're halfway up the wall and they're building. They're doing things, and the enemy comes in and everything just kind of settles down. And it's just, oh, such a danger. But we have to realize too that these things can happen to us. Remember, this is an internal thing that's happening with the church that's there, and that can happen to us too. We're not immune from these things going on. We're not immune from those things taking place in our lives, and that's why we always have to have our guard up. That's why the armor always needs to be on, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, that we always have to be looking and watching and waiting, not so much for the enemy, but for the Lord, because the Lord's going to show us where the enemy is and what the enemy's doing. But if we're not paying attention, then we see that things kind of shut down, and the destruction comes from within. So there's a famine in the land. There's things that are going on. But we also see that it's coming from within. And that's such a great hurt, because they're related. Not only spiritually, but a lot of them physically. A lot of their relatives are there. And yet there's a taking advantage of those relatives, because there's hearts that are just turned from the things of the Lord and going in the wrong direction. It tells us this in Haggai chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. It says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. And why would the Lord do that? Because they've walked away from the things of the Lord. They've gone to a whole different direction. They're more concerned with what they have and how much more they can get, and taking advantage of their own brothers and sisters. And we see in Deuteronomy that it says you don't exact usury on your brothers and sisters, on those that are Jews. And yet, what are they doing? They're doing exactly the opposite of what God's word said, because they're not reading, they're not paying attention to God's word, and they're walking away from it, and they're looking for one more thing. Isn't that amazing? Well, we think we need another car in our garage. Now that we got another car for our garage, we need another garage. So we got to have these things. Where are we going to get it? Well, we'll take advantage of our brothers and sisters. And we would never say that out loud, would we? But when push comes to shove, we see the need for it. We see the need for something else. We see the need for these things and those things. And we go to take advantage of others just so that we can have what we want rather than what God has. Not paying attention to the Lord, but paying attention to their own well-being, paying attention to all those things, and not being content with what God has given them, but wanting another thing, wanting something else. They're back in the land. The temple's been built. The walls are starting to go up. Everything's good. The victory is going on, and yet the enemy comes in and tears it all down. Everything that God had started for them all of a sudden was ripped apart. And they were in that place where they were just going in the wrong direction. In verse 3, some said also that we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There was a famine there. God saw it coming. He allows the famine to happen. And some end up mortgaging their lands. They haven't been there that long. And yet they're already starting to mortgage their own lands. And some taking advantage of it. Yeah. And there was also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyard. So that was a mark of captivity, wasn't it? Paying tribute to the enemy, paying tribute to those that were over them. They had those taxes they had to pay. They had those things they had to take care of. And so those things were going on too. So there's a drought. There's tribute. There's others that are taking just advantage of those that weren't as well off as others were. And they're in that place. They're just walking in untruth, walking in ways that weren't right, because they just had to have something else and they were going in the wrong direction with it. It says this in Acts, can't even read my own writing here. Hopefully I'll find it here. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31, it says, for I know this, that after my departing, remember Paul's here, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, he's ministering to them, and he says, this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And here come those things. Within 30 years, the church at Ephesus was going to fall. Within 30 years of being established, being grounded, being rooted in the right things, people started drifting from the word, drifting from the ways that were right, and they start falling away. Ugh. And he says, grievous wolves, not just wolves, but grievous wolves, the ones with the sharp teeth. They're going to come in and they're going to rip and tear, and they're just going to grind things apart. And he says they're going to come in, they're not going to spare the flock, they're going to take advantage of the flock instead. And he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. What? In the church, men that were elders, now out there speaking perverse things. Oh, that can't be. That would never happen. Wake up, folks. We don't know our own hearts, do we? We don't know what's in there until things come up, and all of a sudden we're in a place where the Lord reveals these things in our lives, and we just look and we say, how did I get here? And it's simple. One step at a time. one step away from the Lord. We stop reading our Bibles in the morning. We stop going to church quite so often. Boy, I just need a night off. We don't need to go to church on Wednesday night. We can just take a night off, watch a movie, have some fun, eat some popcorn. Yeah, we could do all those things. God won't mind. And God does mind, because he knows that our condition is so important to us, and it's important to him. That's how much he loves us, that he'd reveal these things. That's how much he loves us, that he'd bring a drought to the land, because he loves his people. And he doesn't want to see them destroyed. And so he allows these things to happen, just so that we can wake up to the truth of where we are in our walk with him. But boy, our walk is so important. It isn't just our Bible reading, it's our walk with him. Lord, how am I walking with you? Remember when you were little kids? Well, probably don't. You probably don't remember. But let me tell you where you were. Your parents were walking along, and when you came to a crosswalk, what did they do? Grabbed your hand. Why? There's always one in the crowd, and it's got to be Tim. We'll mention him by name. It's Tim. And Tim is the one causing trouble. He would just send his kids out in the middle of the road and say, hey, go play in traffic. But your parents would grab your hand and walk you across. Why? Because they wanted to keep you safe. They knew the best way to get across, and they knew the best way to get you there, but they knew there was a danger in it. And it's the same for us, that the Lord tells us, gives us warnings, and grabs a hold of us and says, I want to walk you through this. I want you to walk with me in the midst of this. That's why he's a good shepherd. He goes before us to lead us in the right way. But sometimes we're like those dumb sheep that say, hey, there's a piece of grass over here. It looks better than the piece of grass I'm seeing in front of me. I'm going this way. And we walk off. And we don't pay attention to the shepherd's crook. We don't pay attention to the rod that's just nudging us and saying, hey, come back this way. We just keep going until we find out that we're lost and everybody else has gone a whole different direction. How did we get here? One step at a time. Lord, keep our steps. Keep our ways. You direct our steps, it tells us in Scripture. But Paul here telling the church at Ephesus, he says, they're going to come in, they're going to not spare the flock, and also of your own selves. There's men that are going to come up, they're going to speak perverse things. And how do we speak perverse things? We speak it because it comes out of the abundance of the heart. And if the word of God isn't there, then everything else is going to be there. The enemy is going to be quick to fill the void that's there. Keep the word of God in the forefront, in the place of in your heart. And he says in verse 31, that therefore watch. He doesn't say, you know, go ahead and do what you want to do. He says, watch and remember. Watch and remember. That seems to always be God's call, to watch the things that are around you, watch where you are, and remember what God has done for you so that you can walk in the truth of that. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and every day with tears. Even though he knew what was going to happen, the Lord had showed him by some way, he showed him what was going to go on, and he said, I prayed every night and day, and I did it with tears for you, because I knew the direction that you were going. But I kept trying to warn you. And you wonder what we do to God's heart sometimes as we walk away and walk our own ways and walk in our own truths rather than walking in God's truths. And so here they are. They're in this place. They haven't been in the land that long. And yet they're taking advantage of their own brethren. They're coming up, they're being risen up to do those things. And Deuteronomy 23:19 just talks about they're not to exact usury out of their brethren. And yet, what are they doing? They're exacting usury out of their brethren. Why? Because they're not paying attention to God's word. Oh, God doesn't care if I make an extra buck off my brother. I'll take advantage of him, and it's okay. I'll ask for forgiveness later. Oh, God pays attention to all those things. Lord, help us as we go. So he says in verse 5, he says, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. What an awful thing. And yet this is the condition of the land so quickly. Well, Lord, it can't happen in my lifetime because I'm so sold out for you right now, Lord, that everything is wonderful. If you're saying that in your heart, you're already in danger. You've already lost ground. And so what does Nehemiah do? Verse 6, and I was very angry. Here's a man who's come 900 miles from Babylon. He's come all the way back to Israel. He's walked all that way. He's come that way. He started building the walls around Jerusalem. Everything's going great. He's already resisted the enemy outside, and inside the enemy's already starting to knock things down. And he said, I was very angry. And I heard their cry, and I heard these words. And I consulted with myself. Amazing, huh? I consulted with myself. Must be there wasn't anybody else around that he could consult, that he couldn't go with. So he and the Lord got together. And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, you exact usury, every one his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. So he takes all the men and the women that are in there. And remember, some of the fathers had to take their daughters and sell them into bondage just so that they could have enough food on the table. Some of them had to take their sons and commission them to the government because they didn't have enough money on the table. Instead of walking in the right way, walking in the wrong direction. And so he sets all these people against these men that have done that. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will you even sell your brethren? This is what you're doing. As he confronts them, he says, this is what you're doing. You're taking your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, even some of your relatives, and you're selling them. You're making them sell. Why are you doing that? Oh, what an awful thing, isn't it? As you confront your own brethren. But sometimes it's necessary to confront our own brethren, isn't it? This is what you're doing by the direction that you're going. Our parents did that, didn't they? As they knew that we were out there smoking and drinking and doping and doing those things. This is what you're doing. You're tearing the family apart. You're killing our heritage. As they tried to wake us up to the truth, most of us were too numb to figure it out or listen to it. But he goes on and he says, or shall they be sold unto us? Then they held their peace and they found nothing to answer. They couldn't answer him because they knew they were right. To me, this is great because it shows me that they were teachable. That they were in a place, they were doing something wrong, but they listened and they heard and they couldn't answer. They couldn't argue with it because they knew it was right. They were teachable. They were still in that place where they were teachable. We never know if some of our relatives and friends are going to be teachable to hear the truth, but we have to speak the truth. We do it in love, but we have to speak the truth sometimes. And so in verse 9 he says, and also I said, it is not good that which you do, ought ye not to walk in the fear of the Lord because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? This is what's going on. You're making us a reproach to our enemies. And what's going to happen once we become a reproach unto our enemies? Our enemies think they have a foothold and they enter in without any resistance. We see that in our own country, don't we? Because we've let people in that shouldn't be in the country. And we've become a reproach to the world. we think America's this great country, which it is, or it was. It's not so great anymore. We're a reproach to many nations. They're laughing at us. And that shouldn't bring us to a point of coming back to the Lord, but what should bring us to a point of coming back to the Lord is, how did we get this far and why are we doing it? We should be repenting and turning, like it says in Chronicles, and just asking the Lord for mercy. And it should start in our own lives, and then it should spread to the body of Christ, and then it should spread to the nation. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God? That should resound in our hearts. Am I walking before God in reverence and truth? Or am I just walking because that's what we do? That's the way the rest of the church is going, so we'll do it. Yeah. In verse 10, he says, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Let us come to the place where we just leave it off, where we don't exact this. He says, restore, I pray you, to them even to this day. This is what you're going to do because you have no answer. He knows they're teachable, and now he's going to tell them what they need to do to repent, to turn from the things that they've been doing. He says, you need to return to them their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, the hundredth part of their money, and of the corn, the wine, the oil that you exact of them. He said, you're taking away all these things from them. You need to restore it to them. Ooh. And shouldn't we do the same thing? Restore to them the things that are right. It says this in Psalm 104. A great psalm. That this verse is just wonderful. But in Psalm 104, if I can ever get there. Psalm 104, verse 15. It says, let me back up just a little bit. Talking about God and what he's done. It says, and he watereth the hills in verse 13 from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. Whose land is it? It's God's land. And he said, you're taking from God and you're taking it unto yourself in the wrong way, and you expect God not to intervene or to do anything about it. He said, it's wrong and you need to restore it to the people because God gave it to them. And what God gives to them, you shouldn't be taking away. We're going to see in Isaiah, if we ever get there, one of these 100 years, I think we should be home by then. but they've come to that place, and he says, this is the chosen fast of the Lord in Isaiah 58, to relieve the poor, not to burden them even more, but to bring them to a place where they have these things. In Psalm 104, 15, it says, and the wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which is the strength of the man's heart. Wine which makes the heart, makes glad the heart of man. Wine just speaking of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. That those things should make the heart of man glad. Oil, speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make his face to shine, and bread coming down from heaven that strengthens man's hearts. That's what those things should be doing, but look at what Nehemiah says that they've been doing. He says, you've been taking it away, and you've been taking it away from them. The things of the Lord that should be given to the people, you've been taking away. And in Isaiah, we're going to see it too. He's going to say, woe unto the pastors. In Ezekiel, woe unto those pastors that are doing these things. Woe unto the pastors that are taking away those things and putting men under bondage again instead of freeing them to know the things that the Lord has for them, that the Lord has given to them. And instead of freeing the people, they're putting people back under bondage again. Oh. What an awful thing that some do, and we need to be careful of those things. But he says, I need you to restore those things so that they can be in the place that God has given to them, and they could walk freely in it, because this is what God has for them. And for our brothers and sisters that are around the world, we know that a lot of them are in bondage, a lot of them are under dictatorships, a lot of them are under persecution. But God knows what those leaders of those countries are doing, because he set those leaders in those places to do exactly what it says here, is to give them the land, to give them the things that they have, to give them bread that's going to strengthen their heart, to allow them to have the word of God run freely through that. And if they don't do it, God is going to hold those leaders accountable. I don't want to be one of those leaders that God is going to look at and say, what did you do with my people? Well, I took the word of God out of their mouth and I wouldn't let them read the word of God. Or the pastors that are there saying, I put them under bondage to serve me and to give to me rather than to give to you, Lord. Oh, there's going to be price to pay, because God has redeemed those people and he set those people over them to do the things that are right. Instead of doing what's right, they're taking advantage. An awful thing that's going on here, and it's the same thing that's going on here with Nehemiah. This is nothing that's uncommon. This is something that goes on even now, but this is something that we need to take care of and make sure that in our hearts we're not doing the same to anybody else. Are we keeping the word of God from somebody? Are we not letting them get strengthened in the Holy Spirit? Are we trying to rule over them and run over them so that we could have more people in our churches instead of making them free in the things of the Lord so that they can walk in truth? Oh. And so he says, restore unto them in verse 11, verse 12. Oh, clock's in the wrong place. They moved my clock. I don't even know where I am anymore. Here I am looking all over the place. There's no clock over there. It looks like you're here for a long time because the clock has not moved. So verse 12, it says, and then they said, we will restore them. So again, the teachable hearts that are there, and thank goodness for that, that they're still teachable, that they're still in a place where they can be teachable. And he says, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. This is a great price that these guys are paying, because remember, they've accumulated all this wealth. They've gotten all these things. They've gotten lands. They've gotten all these things. And all of a sudden, Nehemiah comes in and he says, I need you to restore those things. And they say, okay, that's a great chunk of money out of their pockets. But you know what? If you do what's right, God can give you more than you'll ever get from somebody else. God can give you more than a little money, than more land, than another car. Tim doesn't need another car. He needs hair. He doesn't need another car. We're praying for him for that. So they said unto him, we'll restore those things and we'll require nothing of them. Great picture. We don't require anything of anybody else so that we can be satisfied. And folks, that goes for us, even ministering to people in the churches, that we don't require anything of them, because this is not our church. So we don't require of you to give. If you want to, you give. If you don't, you don't. If you take the word of God and use it, praise the Lord. If you don't, that's your choice. We don't require anything of you, and that's the place that pastors have to be. I get so tired of seeing these pastors on TV. There's somebody in the congregation. They're going to give $1,000 today, and it's going to go right into my bank account, even though they won't say it. You have a man like Cephalo Dollar, and I'm sorry for naming names, but I'm not really sorry for naming names. He has 3 private jets for his own personal use. Hello. And he says, there's somebody in here. They're got to give me another buck. Really?
Yep, Franklin Graham makes over $800,000 a year.
Wow. No.
A shot.
No.
Like, why does he do with $800,000?
Yeah, Bev.
That's what I'm getting out of Samaritan's purse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you know Marvin Sapp, Marvin Sapp is a gospel singer and a preacher. About a month ago, he was asking for $40,000. And he told the ushers to lock the door.
Oh.
It was all over. It was all over the internet.
Oh. Oh boy. Chew. Not good. We're in a bad place to say the least, aren't we? So but we look at others, but then we've got to make sure that we're looking at ourselves. Am I requiring anything of anybody? And I've got to look at that with my own wife. Am I requiring of her something that she can't give me that only God should be giving me? Am I requiring of her something that she can't do? Amen. On second thought, I'm not. Strike that from the tape. Take that off the tape. I'm not going there. This has been a hard study, I tell you. So let's go back to verse 12 before I lose it completely here. Then they said, "We will restore them and will require nothing of them. So we will do as you say." So I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do nothing, that they should do according to this promise. So he calls the priests, and not only does he call the priests, he knows the heart of man, doesn't he? Look at verse 13. And I shook my lap, and I said, "So God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus shall be shaken out and emptied." And all the congregation said, "Amen." Of course they would say amen. And they praised the Lord. They didn't thank Nehemiah, and he wasn't expecting it. They thanked the Lord. That's who we always thank. Man is just the vessel that God is using. We thank the Lord for it. You don't thank man for it, you thank the Lord for it. And the people did this according to this promise. "Moreover, from that time I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah from the 20th year, even in the 30th year of Artaxerxes the king." That is 12 years. So he's there 12 years. Remember, he asked Artaxerxes for some time, and he said, "I'll come back. Once my time is up, I'll come back." He's already been around 12 years. That's a long time to be away from your position, isn't it? I need a leave of absence. How long do you need? Oh, 12 years. Really? There's not too many that would give that to you. But here's Nehemiah's example as he goes through this thing. That here's a man who could have taken advantage of everything that was going on. But look at what he does. He was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah from the 20th year, even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, 12 years. I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. In his position, he was entitled to have all this food brought to him all the time. And you look at it and you realize that this man didn't take any part of it. It's amazing. As you look at, we looked at David's son Solomon and the things that he had and all the meals every single day. We're talking multiple numbers of cows and oxen and all these animals and all the food that was brought every single day so he could take care of his household and the people that dined with him. And yet Nehemiah didn't exact that from the people, because he wanted the people to be blessed. He took enough to take care of himself, but he didn't take excess so that there would be a reproach. This is a man after God's heart. This is a man who loves the things of the Lord and wants the people to be blessed. And that's where each and every one of us should be, for each other, for our families, for the church family, even for the nation. We shouldn't exact from them what isn't due us. Ooh. But the former governors that had been before in verse 15 were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver, and this is an everyday thing. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did I not, because of the fear of God. He didn't want to do it because he had a fear of the Lord that said, I can't do this. I can't go in that way that's wrong. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to take. And he purposed in his heart. And you can't do that without purposing in your heart and hearing from the Lord, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. Could he have done it? Sure. But he didn't want to take advantage of them. He didn't want to make it harder for them so that he could be at ease. And boy, that's a heart that's really in a place of just being ministered to by the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says this, not for that we have dominion even over your faith, but we're helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. We're helpers of your joy. That was Nehemiah's heart. That was Paul's heart to the church at Corinth, because remember, he didn't exact from all the churches that he went to either. Sometimes he preached all night and he worked all day just so that he could be there and give out the word. And this is Nehemiah's heart too, that he wouldn't exact from them things that were due him. He said, I'll just forego those things and just go on from there. So he says, because I did it because of the fear of God, the reverence of my God that was before me. So evidently God had showed him that he wasn't to do that. And so he didn't. And he didn't take advantage of it. Was he tempted? I'm sure he was. There's all this stuff that's there. You could have this. And I'm sure the people around him saying, well, the other governors had all this bread and wine. They got 40 shekels a day just for being there as governor. You could take this too. I don't want it. What does it show? It shows that God was going to be his provision and that God was leading him. And for you and I, we all have to be in that same place. We can exact it out of each other. But is that the right thing to do? Is that the best thing to do? And that's individually, because sometimes God will say, yes, go ahead and do it. Other times, no. Remember Paul, when he was going through on his missionary journeys, some of the churches gave him money, and he took it. Other churches, he wouldn't let them do it because evidently God had told him not to, because it wouldn't have been good for them. It would have been a place of contention for them. And so God prepared him for it even before he got into those towns. This is what you're going to do when you're there. You're going to be a tent maker again. Really, Lord? I'm an apostle now. I graduated. You know, I got a new degree on my wall. I'm an apostle now. My base rate is way above minimum wage, Lord. Come on. He says, I want you to go back and make tents. Really? How am I going to teach him? Well, you're going to do that at night after you work all day. Really, Lord? Don't you know how old I am? Don't you know how much my back hurts? Don't you know how bad my knees are? And yet you want me to do all this stuff? Yeah. How am I going to do it, Lord? I'm going to be your strength. Oh, we need to depend on our God. I don't know about you guys, but we can't depend on our country. We can't depend on our government. We certainly can't depend on... I didn't say that. We can't depend on New York State. Maybe some other states, but not New York. We can't do that. We depend on God. He's our provision. And who are you looking to today? Are you looking to that credit card that's in your wallet and saying, well, my credit card can take care of it, and then you're paying 32% interest over how many years to pay it back? Oh, we've all been in that trap, I'm sure. We're probably still, some of us, in that trap in some places. But God, free us from those things. Let God be our provision. God's going to take care of me. Oh, how am I going to do this? I was just thinking about it this morning, because I'm certainly not getting younger. and I was thinking about having Kath get sick. and go back in the hospital, and how am I going to take care of them? And God just, hello, who's taking care of it all these years? Was it you? No, I've been in debt all my life. Okay, who's getting you out of it? You. Who's going to take care of you? You. Okay, then let me take care of it all the way. Are you willing to trust me all the way? Oh. Wow, she's full of it today. verse 15 here, I'm sorry. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, had taken them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants had ruler over their people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. I walked in the fear of God. Yet also I continued in the work of this wall. Did he have to work on the wall? He had the whole city. You guys go out, work on the wall. He went with them. He wouldn't ask of them to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. Oh. Yet also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land. And all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. All my servants were gathered there. They weren't there to serve me. They were there to serve the living God and to do what he had called us to do. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and the rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox, six sheep, fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days all sorts of wine. And yet for all this I required not the bread of the governor, because of the bondage that was heavy upon this people. And so he prays again in verse 19. 12 prayers in Nehemiah. This is one of them. He says, think on me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. I'm doing this for the people. I'm looking for the people for this, Lord. So Father, please have your way for me. It says this in Psalm 40, verse 5. And we'll finish up here. He says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And folks, for you and I, that should be the same thing. Look back on your life and see all that God has done for you. Where has he brought you from? And what has he promised to bring you to? Because you and I, as born-again believers, we not only have a place that he's delivered us from, but we have a place that he's going to deliver us to. And it's not in this world, and it's not to be in bondage. It's to be completely free, to be free in him. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're free not to have to sin, and we're free to go to heaven. Because our price has been paid. Our judgment was taken by Jesus on the cross. Those that aren't believers, they're still facing judgment. And they're going to face it on their own accord, without an advocate. You know what it is to be in the hospital and have no advocate. We see people in the hospital every day, and some of them have advocates, some of them don't. And boy, the ones that don't are going through pure hell. It's awful. The system is broken. But you know what? God's system never broke. It still works. We can still trust him, and we can still praise him and thank him. So, Father, we're just so thankful today for your goodness, your grace, your love. We're so thankful that you take care of us each and every day, Lord. We look out and see a world that's still here. We look out and we're not cooking because we're too close to the sun. We're not freezing because we're too far away from the sun. We're right in a perfect place. And that perfect place is right in your presence. We're just thankful that we have all that you want to give us, Lord. May we take advantage of those things. May we grab a hold of those things and embrace them to ourselves, Lord. Those free gifts that you give us each and every day. Eternal life and all that that includes. your presence, your shining face, your glory. We have that each and every day, Lord. May we not be so upset and frustrated with the ways of the world that we forget all that we do have. So, Father, have your way with us. Encourage us, strengthen us, but, Lord, set us in that walk with you and help us not to take advantage of those around us. May we be like those Nehemiahs and not like the ones that were taking advantage of the people. May we be like Nehemiah who just trusted you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We ask for your ways to be ours, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.